You're with Cape Talk.
This is John Matham on Afternoon Drive.
It's 21 minutes past four. I was fascinated by an article that appeared in the journal Nature recently, which seems to answer a 700-year-old riddle. Where did the Black Death come from and when did it first appear? Black Death, a kind of bubonic plague, is the deadliest pandemic in recorded history. It's thought to have killed somewhere around 50 million people in Europe and the Mediterranean in the 7 years between 1346 and 1353. And it's called Black Death because the people infected developed gangrenous blackened lesions all over their body. It's fever, swelling of the lymph nodes. It's caused by a bacterium, Yersinia pestis, spreads via rodents that carry infected fleas. And at some point in the past, a single plague strain diversified into four different lineages, and in one of those lineages, the strain that caused Black Death evolved. So determining just where and when that evolution into the Black Death strain happened has been the mystery, which now appears to have been solved. We're joined via Zoom by Johannes Krauser, who is an archaeogeneticist at the Max Planck Institute for Evolutionary Anthropology in Leipzig. Johannes, a very, very good afternoon.
Yes, hi, John. Welcome here.
How was this mystery solved?
Yeah, so we actually looked at ancient skeletons that were already found more than 100 years ago in a site that is very close to Bishkek, which is the capital of Kyrgyzstan. And they were found in a cemetery together with gravestones that date to the mid of the 14th century. Some of them are from 1330, some of them from the 1340s. And it's said even on some of those gravestones that the people that are buried there died of some sort of plague. I mean, of course, back in the 14th century, they didn't know what bubonic plague is. They just called it pestilence. And we had access to the bones that were uncovered more than 100 years ago. They were kept in a museum in St. Petersburg. And we analyzed those skeletons for traces of those ancient pathogens. And indeed, we could reconstruct entire genomes of Yersinia pestis, which is the causative agent of bubonic plague, from three individuals. Two had data which was good enough to get high coverage genomes, and we could then place them in the family tree of Yersinia pestis, so of the causative agent of plague, and found that there were the most recent common ancestor of those four lineages that you just described. They were basically at the Big Bang. So a bit like, you know, people talk a lot about where did Corona emerge, and if you look at the genetic data, it really traces back to Wuhan, to this kind of animal market. That story, I think a lot of people have heard about in the last 2 years. And we have basically found the same now for bubonic plague, for that particular diversification event where all those strains got born, which seems to have been close to modern day Bishkek, close to the so-called Issyk-Kul, which is a big lake. So in the foothills of the Tian Shan Mountains in Kyrgyzstan.
I mean, one of the things that strikes somebody who is a layperson, not a scientist, is how extraordinary it is that you can, from the bones of, and the teeth, I believe, as well, of 700-year-old skeletons, you can extract that level of precise information.
Yes, it's a new discipline, really, that has evolved maybe over the last 30 years. We call ancient DNA. So people in the 1980s for the first time could show that you can get DNA from ancient bones. And then there were things like the mammoth genome sequenced, Neanderthal genome, ancient Egyptian mummies. And about 10 years ago, for the first time, we even managed then to reconstruct pathogens from ancient skeletons that killed people in the past, be it tuberculosis, be it leprosy, be it plague from the Black Death or from even the Stone Age. The oldest plague genomes we have are more than 5,000 years old. It's amazing that it's preserved, but I think there's a good reason for it. DNA is a very stable molecule. Basically, nature has designed it to be stable because it keeps our kind of blueprint, right? It's the information that shouldn't change because that's a mutation. So it's a very stable molecule that not just survives in your body well, so it doesn't degrade, it doesn't mutate, but it also preserves pretty well over long time periods.
And this would have been a random mutation in the way that random mutations happen all of the time.
Yes, I mean, things change through time. Usually, mutations reign on DNA. While we speak here, you probably have some mutations happening somewhere on your body. But in a living organism, those mutations get repaired. So even if the DNA is a stable molecule, it sometimes kind of breaks or there's mutations happening, but usually they get repaired. But then, of course, if DNA is in a dead organism, then they cannot get repaired anymore. So things then even change in the DNA. It breaks down into small pieces. So over, say, 700 years, like this material, the DNA has degraded into small pieces. They're only like 50 bases long. Usually it's 4 million bases long, but it's still good enough to be analyzed.
And there is always scientific interest in solving riddles, finding out what happened, when it happened, how it happened, why it happened, where it spread. And I presume that this was a part of a trading route. And so people infected there would have taken it into, I don't know, through Eastern Europe into Western Europe and so on. But is there any contemporary relevance for understanding so much better now where and how and when the Black Death plague evolved?
I think it's important to understand this pathogen. I mean, this pathogen is still around in the world today, even though a lot of people think that the plague is some sort of medieval or maybe like hundreds of years in the past. There are rodents living in the same region today that are, in fact, what we now know, the closest living relative of that particular strain that caused the kind of this diversification, this four lineages, and that are marmots in this region that are carrying this type of plague, and that there are rodents found all over the world on all continents that harbor this disease. And we have outbreaks from time to time. There was a pretty infamous one in Madagascar in the late 2017. We have those happening again and again. And I think it's important to understand how such a epidemic event can emerge, where it comes from, what are basically the circumstances that something like that can happen, why it didn't happen over hundreds of years, and why it kind of started there, which are all kind of questions that we're just starting to understand. But the research in that, therefore, is important, because what we clearly see is that there was something happening at that time that then caused a large diversification, that it really radiated in all directions from there. It is a bit like, trying to understand what happened in Wuhan on that market. Why did it happen there? And then how did it then kind of spread over the world? We, of course, know that and can pretty much, retrack how corona spread over the world in the last 2 years. But trying to understand something like that for plague, which has a mortality of 60%, I think is important, because it's still a very dangerous pathogen. Fortunately, we have antibiotics, so we can treat it. So unlike corona, which is a virus, Yersinia pestis is a bacterium which you can treat with antibiotics. So today it's maybe not as dangerous anymore as it was in the past, but there's also antibiotic resistance that could evolve. So we better understand that one, because it's probably the biggest killer in human history, Yersinia pestis.
So there are still cases of what we would understand to be bubonic plague happening. People are becoming infected, but the antibiotics are sorting that out.
Yes, we have about 2,000 to 3,000 cases worldwide every year, very few people die. There's maybe a dozen people or so that die every year. Once in a while, you hear about a person in Central Asia, or it was a person a couple of years ago that died in Oregon in the United States, who had been infected 5 days earlier and antibiotic treatment was too late. And then there's, of course, not just bubonic plague, but there's pneumonic plague, where people get directly infected in their lung, which has a very high mortality still today. So it happened last time with a larger outbreak in India in the 1990s, 94, 95. And there was actually quite a few people dying at that time, because antibiotic treatment is just too late. When people show symptoms, they have about 24 to 48 hours to live. And the mortality is about 95%. So that's really severe. So if you inhale the bacteria, then they can get kind of very, very severe. That's also why it's considered to be a potential agent that could be used by bioterrorists. So there's a lot of military organizations worldwide that study it, because it has the potential to be used as a bioweapon. So therefore, yet another reason to kind of understand its natural spread and history over the last few thousand years.
Thank you very, very much indeed, Johannes Krauser, who is an archaeogeneticist at the Max Planck Institute for Evolutionary Anthropology in Leipzig.